This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Canada to the north. Canada, our strong ally. Strongest when you look at the geography. Both of us, Canada and the United States, are between two oceans that guard us from the depredations of Eurasia these last 100 years or more. However, there's more to Canada than just the nation that also enjoys the longest unguarded border in the world between two states. I welcome Conrad Black, distinguished biographer and an observer of his Canada, to reflect upon this moment in Canadian politics, because there's a contest between conservatives about the next step. And a young man named Pierre Poilievre is possibly the leader of the future of Canada. But to lead what? What is it that Canada has that can be enhanced or augmented by Canada taking hold of how it is a refuge for those who seek to have democracy guaranteed? This is the shining democracy of North America right now. I believe my country, the United States, is troubled about democracy. Canada, not so much. Conrad, a very good evening to you. These many years of us talking about Canada, I've learned to pay attention to a quiet partner. Is it time for the partner to make noise? Good evening to you.
Yeah. Good evening to you, John. You mean, is it time for Canada to speak up more?
Yes, of course. Tell us.
I would say it is, as long as what it says is sensible. You see, we have a government now that purported to believe that we were in a post-national era. So they're very focused in international organizations. And it's a very, benign, kindly, but terribly naive view of the world. And in fairness, I think they've been brought to their senses a little bit by some of the antics of the Chinese and some other countries. But, of course, you're absolutely right. And Canada does have a history. Not a particularly long history, but a history of participating usefully in international affairs. It was really the third of the Western allies in World War II. With for a little country who made a huge contribution, we had one of the five beaches of Normandy, and we trained pilots and air crews, 125,000 of them, for all of the Allied air forces, Western allies, and we were co-founders of NATO and the United Nations, and so on. And we had an aid to Europe plan here that paralleled exactly the Marshall Plan. And the Canadian leaders, Prime Minister Saint Laurent, the foreign minister at the time, Mr. Pearson, were instrumental in resolving the Suez crisis, which was a very serious problem at the exact same time as the Russian suppression of the Hungarian Revolution. So we have something to work from. We're not untried in this field, but we're kind of spinning our wheels now, I think. And in defense terms, we've outsourced everything to the United States and virtually disbanded our armed forces. And we've got to do better than that.
You report in your National Post column that when you were very young, Canada was a dominion. It's gone through a transformation to be a sovereign state. In that transformation, is Canada aware of its God's gifts, its resources, its people, its open borders? Is that celebrated, Conrad?
To some degree, it is. Now, in fairness, when we were a dominion, we were an autonomous country, but it was a. It's never been exactly defined what, in political terms, a dominion is. It was a term invented by one of the Canadian political leaders at the time this country became independent from Great Britain by complete agreement of the British in 1867. And it was autonomous, but not really completely independent, because in practice it cooperated closely with the British and, in fact, the Americans as well. There's no question that was 53, 75 years ago that Canada became a kingdom and a completely sovereign country. And in general, I think we've been a very responsible and respectable country in our performance. But I think we're not pulling our weight now. We have almost 40 million people. We're a G7 country, as you say, very flatteringly what you said, but accurately. It's a very rich country, a good historical record. We've never engaged in any imperialist wars. We've never been on a losing side in a war. And we have a good record, by all of the criteria of civilized behavior by a country. But in my opinion, we should be making a much greater contribution right now than we are.
You're a multicultural, bilingual nation of capitalism and transparency. You did have a bad patch, however. I believe it was a moment when General President de Gaulle, came to Canada in 1967 and remarked in a fashion that was... is it remembered as a separatist remark, what he said, liberty?
Yeah, there were two things. One was vive le Québec libre, long live free Quebec, as if it wasn't a free place. And the other was when he said that in coming that day from Quebec City to Montreal in an open car with the premier of Quebec, for whom I then worked in a very junior position, Mr. Johnson, he said, here tonight in Montreal and all along my route today, I found myself in an atmosphere like that of the liberation. I'm referring to the liberation of France, in which Canada fully participated, taking one of the five beaches at Normandy, when General de Gaulle himself was sitting in the Connaught Hotel with his feet up listening to the radio. And Canadians were really seriously offended by that. And the then Prime Minister, Mr. Pearson, issued a statement late that night saying that de Gaulle's words were not acceptable, and he left the country the next day.
However, you did have a savior in the form of Pierre Trudeau, the father of the present prime minister, who...
This is right. He defeated the separatists. It must be said he did that.
And so what we have today is a country that's not just been lucky. We have a country that's chosen to be what it is. Now, when you say it's time to grow up, let's apply that to this contest in the Conservative Party. What is the vision of the party and of Pierre Poilievre in particular about what Canada can be in future?
Yeah, but I'll just add one thing about Pierre Trudeau. When I said he defeated the separatists, I wish to emphasize he defeated them in elections and in a referendum. It was completely democratic. There's no application of force. They had a perfect right to state their views and present them to the voters, and the Federalists did, and the Separatists did, and the Federalists won. So it was all democracy. It wasn't a civil war or anything like that. But to answer your question, I think that, assuming that Pierre Poilievre is the next Conservative leader and therefore the leader of the opposition in this country, his position will be precisely what we were saying, that within the Western alliance, working closely with traditionally friendly countries in that alliance, Canada should increase its defense spending, be more active in pursuing solutions to the problems that are festering, and not with a view to any sort of collective political egotism, but to try and use the wealth of this country in foreign aid matters and in assisting and building up the Western deterrent capacity, that we just become a more active and useful ally. I mean, almost all of these NATO allies, except those formerly in the Soviet Union or dominated by it, and with the exception of the British also, all of them have been essentially coasting under the American umbrella and just leaving it all to you people to pay for our defense. And that's got to stop.
And about the resources, the natural resources, I know your oil sands are a marvel, but you have the Canadian North into the Arctic. You're a principal in the Arctic initiative that everybody is taking. Is that part of the vision for Poilievre too, or is that too far ahead?
No, I would say it is. And in fairness, his party has a pretty good record in that area. The first conservative prime minister that I remember is in office in the late 50s and early 60s, Mr. Diefenbaker, built highways up to the north. Previous conservative government, Harper's, actually commissioned an icebreaker and named it after him, but a big icebreaker that can, you know, clear its way all the way through those waters, even in the middle of the winter. And so there is a history to that. And again, I don't think that's an issue that would be contested in this country. I think everybody would agree it was worthwhile to do more than we're doing.
The concern of centralized governments is a regulatory hand, and sometimes called the administrative state. Is that a concern in Canada, and does Poilievre have a response to that?
Yeah, it is a concern. Now, it isn't a concern in quite the way it is in the U.S. You don't get a lot of complaints that the Justice Department is being politically manipulated. There's no sign of that. We haven't had any Justice Department activity directed against any office holders, or at least prominent office holders anyway, in this country, you know, that I can remember ever. There's just no tradition of that here. And so we're spared that. Authority, the unanswerable authority of the administrative state is objected to. And the most controversial episode in that is one that we commented on at the time on this program of yours about the truckers. You see, these truckers earned their living, almost all of them, going back and forth between Canada and the United States. And the rule was that anyone returning from any foreign country, even the USA, had to quarantine for 2 weeks. Well, obviously they couldn't earn a living doing that, because they'd have two trips and they'd be in quarantine the rest of the month, you see. So they objected to this, and it wasn't something that was legislated or where the public was consulted or where the regulator did any research in the industry or anything like that. They just imposed this rule and wouldn't listen to any remonstrations from the truckers that this wasn't fair to them. And so they took matters into their own hands, but in a very gentle way. They just drove their trucks down to Ottawa and parked them in front of the Parliament building. There was no violence or anything. But that is an illustration of the kind of thing that people don't like. And that was a particularly, highly publicized one. But here, as in the U.S. and elsewhere, we get these things. I mean, anyone, if you give them power and they don't have to answer for it, even if they're not malicious people personally, they just become reckless and inattentive.
And does Mr. Poilievre comment on this matter? Or does his leadership...
He does. You see, his whole pitch is to maximize people's freedom. He's trying to sell moderate conservatism, sort of Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher conservatism, but do it in the basis of this is more freedom for every person in the country. Less intervention, less government telling them what to do. When there's no need for the government to tell them what to do, they shouldn't be doing it. That's his pitch.
I read from Conrad Black's column about Pierre Poilievre. The first plausible sign of a more adult direction in public policy leadership for some years is coming from Pierre Poilievre, the likely next federal conservative leader. The obligatory blast of criticism of him as harsh and confrontational should be ignored as the simpering of our frightened and inadequate elites. It is time for Canada to exercise its vocation as not only one of the world's best countries, but also as one of its great countries, by becoming one of the world's most original and creative countries. We can do it, and no one else will do it for us. Conrad Black, writing for the National Post about the future of Canada's leadership. We're going to turn to American leadership for the future as well. When we come back, I'm John Batchelor.